Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Marius. I knew I'd screw it up.
No worries.
Dancia. I do that every time. I smell it phonetically and I still make a mess of it. Dancia, I apologize. So he's the founder and owner of EmpowerLink. He has a few companies. IS3, which is International Social Services System. We want to talk about all this stuff too. IM2D, marketing agency. And he's developed all this within the realm of making a difference. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to Marius, because, you know, these conscious communication talks are about how we consciously communicate through the mind in a positive way, not in a negative way. And I just seek out people, and we're all magnets, so we get attracted to this more and more. So we'll go further into that. He's also got a PhD in micro enterprise development and a master's in social work. So I want to thank Marius for being on the show today.
Thank you, Philip, for the opportunity and the honor to be here.
Thank you very much. Okay, I always ask this question. What is the serendipity, the coincidence or accident that happened in your life? Because you didn't wake up one day and said, you know, I think I'll start EmpowerLink, get a PhD and a master's degree. Something kind of guided you in the direction. What was those things that happened in your life? Those, you know, this accident, serendipities, like I said, this coincidence that guide you to where you are now?
Yeah, that's a great question, Philip. I believe that God always had a plan from the beginning for all of us to be the best we could be in a better plan than we ever dreamed of. The way that we started off is I came from Romania with my father and brother and worked in property management while I was going to school at Northeastern Illinois University. Now, coming from Romania as an immigrant, we realized that we had to work with our community. Most immigrants, or especially from Romania that come in, don't really have social service systems to help them. So we kind of became those social service systems. We would help them get a job, get an apartment, get a car, get situated, and we became kind of their support system along the way. So while I was working on different properties, and going to school at Northeastern, working with Romanians that were coming here from Romania, I started getting the love of social work. So it started developing in me this passion of helping others to grow and develop. And along the way, I graduated from Northeastern. I did a BA in political science and a minor in social work. Then I also thought, hey, listen, I wanted to learn more how to help others and get my master's in social work. I went over to University of Chicago and started working on the social service administration side, which I really liked the systems thinking part, the administration part. Not to say that I didn't like the psychotherapy part. I think they both go hand in hand. But I really loved putting things together systemically and administratively. Then I continued working with the properties with my father and other people. And then I started teaching at Northeastern Illinois University after 7 years after getting my master's. It was interesting how I started. I got a phone call from the program director, it was a social work, and said, Marius, how would you like to start teaching at Northeastern? And the only caveat was that you would go into the middle of the class. The professor that was there now teaching, she didn't want to teach anymore, and she had to leave. And it was going in the middle of the semester. Now, Philip, never teach in my life. I went into the class, and everybody said, hey, you're crazy, Mario. So how are you going to go into a problem when you have never even taught before? You don't know what you're going to do. You might make it even worse. But I had faith in that. I knew that if God made the opportunity for me to go in there, I'm not going to say no to it, no matter if it kills me or, for lack of a better word, if it challenges me more than before. So we did begin the class. I never told them this is my first class teaching. I went right before midterms. So I took the midterm, made it into a PowerPoint. They passed the midterm. Then we slowed down things and it was a social welfare policy class. Then we started slowing down things. We talked about the end of poverty and my microenterprise development programs. That's where I kind of had a little bit of experience from the University of Chicago, where I published an article in the Advocates Forum there. So we kind of started developing a good relationship with the students and created a good program at the end. And when the class was done, we had the last day of class and they all took their evaluations. And I told them, guys, this is my first time teaching the class. All their mouths were on the floor. And they could have, I wish I would have taken a picture of that. But needless to say, I'm pretty sure they were thinking, hey, why is this guy sweating in class all the time? The whole time, you know, something is. But one of the first words on that evaluation was, and I say this humbly, as humble as possible, was awesome and other things. But my point is this, sometimes you have to take on a challenge that can boost you into an opportunity. Because after that, then they offered me to be a program advisor. They offered me 2 classes, then 4 classes. And it just started blooming. Those were the best times of my life, Philip. I can't wait to go back because I still have a good relationship with many students from there and colleagues. To this day, that you cannot buy stuff like that. The moments in class that we had is very important. They see what you're about when bad things happen, and when your back is to the wall, and then that's when they see what you're made of. And I remember being in class myself in different classes and saying, "Hey, I want to do what that professor did," or Dapper, but not really what that professor did. So sometimes you learn more what not to do than what to do, and you develop yourself along the way into doing. But this was all because God has planned it in a way to be in that class, to take on the opportunity, and not to say no or not to be scared of the opportunity. We have to be faithful, and we have to know that, hey, it might be gut-wrenching sometimes, but you go through it and you're a better person afterwards. Not necessarily Bertie as a, not only for you, but to be able to be an example for others. And there's so many examples I have in class, maybe at another show or another time we could share some of those. But I loved what I did and I still do. Now, along the way, while I was working on other projects, social work projects with not-for-profits, but one of the projects there in the properties is that we took all the mailboxes and put them all in one hallway. And then we put a digital screen in the middle. It was a 38-unit building. So we knew they will come to the mailboxes to check those out. And we said, hey, let's put a screen here. And then let's go to the different businesses around the area and share our content. We needed tenants. We needed workers. We needed people to know about the property there and about the development that's happening. So that's where PowerLink started while I was at Northeastern, working on the properties, working with the students. And it was just 7 years of development, but I would say concentrated development there and on many fronts. And along the way, I realized that I need to develop a property management company and also in PowerLink. And that was growing at a way that I had to step back and help both of those grow and then come back to teaching later on when I have more experience and I have more to offer the students. At that point, the only one that was able to grow that with my team was me. I had to step back, but I'm still going to go back into teaching in the future. I know God has that still in the plan. And if not, he has something better for that than for me and for others. What I love doing is growing with others, no matter how much it hurts. And that is a model for me and also the people that I come in contact with.
All righty then, the show's over. Thank you for coming. I that was very well thought out and precise of how the steps that you took. But what I liked more than anything is you had faith and you look at it as an opportunity. And I always say that when people say you should hope for something, hope is just not a place for opportunity. What can you get out of something? And as you're saying, when God sticks something in front of you as what I call a coincidence, a serendipity, whatever words we want to call it, but it's all that same stuff. Ask, why is it happening? What am I supposed to learn from this? Am I supposed to get something out of this? What's the worst thing that could happen? It didn't work well, and you learn something of why it didn't work well, or it takes you in a direction that you had no idea that's the direction you were going to go in. And those are the opportunities that being in faith leads you to, because without that faith and without that awareness of going, where did that come from? And there's a coincidence for everything. I think if you look at every incident as why am I from the worst to the best, because somebody says, oh, well, coincidence, I'm only going to look at the stuff that's really good. Well, good luck with that, because there's a lot of mixture of everything going up and down, better and worse. So I always look at it, okay, what am I supposed to get out of this? What am I supposed to learn from this? That's the two questions I always ask myself, not only in general, but in the philosophy. And I have all sorts of different processes and procedures to go through. But the idea is I approach it as, like you were saying, why did God bring me this? Am I supposed to teach? Well, yeah, but I have no clue. And you had the insightfulness and the common sense to say, not to say, students, this is my first day, I've never taught before. Because you just, you know, it's like, you know, throwing an arrow right there. That's it. This is not good. And I like it when you do that, because it takes the stress of that situation, pulls you back, and you're just coming from genuineness and your experience. Instead of putting that extra stress on there announcing, hey, class, is the first time. And sometimes it's appropriate with whatever you're doing, but many times you really don't have to, and just kind of let the cards fall as they will, as they say. Now, when you're talking about a power link, you know, one of the things I noticed, it says engage, enhance, and inspire. So all the stuff you told me is engaging and enhancing and inspiring, because, you know, especially coming from another country, which all of us have, you know, my family's, I'm second generation American, and my family came from Russia, and they came with nothing, and they had to learn. And I like the idea, because I was always brought up engage, enhance, and inspire. I always was raised with faith and belief. How does that empower link when you say engage, enhance, and inspire? Can you kind of delve into that a little bit more? Maybe if you need to all three separately, or how they are linked together in what you do. Mm-hmm.
So one way is we engage by putting our digital screens in different businesses, properties, and organizations. Then we create their digital content and place that content on all the screens that we have. And the way that we enhance the place, it looks better. And it's also an opportunity for people to see content there that might not have been there before, in terms of not only knowing where our partners. But we also put we have a for-profit to a not-for-profit model, where we the for-profits support the not-for-profits. This is another social work part there, because we want to give back to the community as much as possible. Now, in it, the inspiring part comes in threefold. One is that we put verses from the Bible on our screens. We have, and I know we're going against the grain in more ways than one, especially in this society we're in now. But in the way that it has grown tremendously is by placing the Word of God on these digital screens. You never know who's going to walk in and need to see that encouragement, need to feel that inspiration. And I think that the more places feel that inspiration and that encouragement and that word that doesn't come back void, the more of the places that are going to be blessed, and the people that are walking in, they're going to feel that refreshment and say, hey, this is not just about advertisement. This is about building people up. And not only that, we use these screens to honor people. We use these screens to encourage them. And we want to be an inspirational platform that builds people up, builds brand up, builds businesses up. We also have a entrepreneurship program where we have young entrepreneurs that we give them a special rate to be on the screens. For example, we have a 15-year-old that has started a a milk company that does soap, and she's working with animals and rents them out. And then she's, we want to encourage young entrepreneurs, inspire them, and develop them. And that's why also we have IS3, which is in International Social Service Systems, that has the mentoring part, that has the counseling part, and the incubation part there as well. So it kind of all comes together to help others, to build others up, and to expose what they're doing in terms of getting as much as exposure for their businesses and their companies to as much as many places as possible. In fact, while we were here in Southern Illinois, my wife is going to law school at SIU now. We have now 14 host locations, 17 screens that are coming up, a few people that are in the pipeline. Because another part to this is that you have to be so affordable that they can't say no. So then what's cool about this is that the owners recommend themselves. The owners know that if they help us get another location, they will be in that location and they will be promoted during those times as well. So it's a win-win situation, but it does begin with connecting with the places, enhancing the place as best as possible, and then inspiring everyone that's there. There's some locations that have more than one screens, and I've heard what I love most about this is putting God's word in these locations. What I second love most about this is going into these locations and seeing the smiles of the owners and on their faces. And they know that we are developing, we are growing, we are there to help them, and we are there to be as reasonable as possible, not to take advantage of them, not to say, hey, we could charge by the screen. We don't charge by the screen. We charge by the area. We try to have a model that is so affordable and that has more, because we also do social media, our partners' pages. We also do ebooks and also physical booklets and digital radio. So that all comes together as a package for them. And I don't nickel and dime them on all of those. They have that for a set amount price. And they just choose, hey, listen, we want to be in these locations, or we want to be local or national. We have other places like Shreveport, Pagosa Springs. What's good about that is then you're able to broadcast, for example, from Pagosa Springs. It's the deepest hot springs in the world. You'll never know that unless you drive by or somebody tells you. But now we're able to broadcast that to Northern Illinois, Southern Illinois, Shreveport, or Miami, or Kentucky. So people can know about that. But when it started, it's just like, example, with the university. You have to take faith because we started with just two locations. And we had to go to the businesses that didn't really, it wasn't developed, the model, but the idea was there. And then you have to have a good relationship with them so they could say, Marius, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but I know you. And maybe it might work because you do like taking chances that might work out or not. But the idea is you have to have faith. You are right. 100% is the essence of everything that we do, because we will not get anywhere without faith. We have to know that if we do, we act on faith, then God will prepare the way, even if you can't see the other step of in front of you.
But it can be very uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. And then sometimes that's the fun part too.
Yeah. And I was going to say that. I was going to expand on that, because one of the things is being uncomfortable. So you could either be uncomfortable in something you're comfortable with and you're familiar with, which is just people get sucked into that in life, which is just either a bad relationship or a bad job. They're uncomfortable being comfortable in something they're familiar with. Or you go into faith and say, okay, I'm uncomfortable here. What's the opportunity? And it's a lot harder with, and I'm not saying we're any better or worse than anybody else, but it's uncomfortable what I do. This is not just a podcast. I'm doing a lot of different things within this whole realm. And, you know, there's a saying, I don't know where it comes from, but, oh, you're supposed to enjoy the end result, not the adventure. I don't agree with that at all, because as an adult, I went and got my master's in business, my MBA. And it was actually cool getting it as an adult, because all the stuff I was studying, I was already doing in the real world. But I realized that the piece of paper you get, it's just a piece of paper. And when I got the piece of paper, as opposed to my engineering degree, because I was younger, And I was like, oh my God. And then I got the paper. I'm like, is this all it is? And I enjoyed it more when I was doing the master's because I was older, more experienced in life. And I loved it more. So the adventure of not knowing exactly where it's going to end up. It's not like you're losing millions of dollars and you're foreclosed on your home 12 times. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that you got to have some common sense, some logic to it, some business knowledge and experience. So with these screens, explain to the audience, more specifically, you were talking about the springs and everything. Where would they see these things? How would they know they exist? Are they seeing this? They have to bring it up on Facebook. Are they getting these? Because you were saying, you know, you go to the offices there or their facilities and they see these screens everywhere. So how are these screens, you know, simulated through all these? Are there 10 screens in an office? Are something that you can pick up or, you know, you type in something and it goes right there? So people are aware of what's going on with what you're talking about with your technology?
Yes. Yeah, so this is what's good about this model is that you could put it at any brick and mortar location, wherever they walk in or they congregate. For example, we have them in restaurants where they spend a lot of time eating. We have them in grocery stores. We have them in hardware stores.
Ah.
You have them at the doctor's office. You have them in properties where they walk by, where they are going to see it. And especially tenants, they walk by enough times, they will see most of the content on there. And what's really cool about this is that if you don't catch it in one place, you'll catch it at another place that might be nearby. Then the more locations you have, because the same platform or the same video is shown to all of the locations where all the partners are on the video. So it's on a loop. And then everyone gets looped in all of the locations. And while they're there, they're able to see things that are not necessarily gonna show up on Facebook or show up, although we do social media and LinkedIn and others. We want to be one person described it one time as being at the right place at the right time and seeing these screens and then saying, hey, wow, I didn't know about this. How can I get into this? What I also love about this is now that we're developing the digital radio, it's a platform on SoundCloud where every host location could pick their own music. Then we put our local partners on there and a few of our national partners. And then what's cool about that is that we say, hey, if you're in one of the host locations, click the QR code that's on the scan the QR code that's there and earn more or get a promotional rate for their services. And what happens there from the radio station, you could get the analytics because with the QR code, they could go to a submission form. And then they have a field that has their promotion that they have. So you could get the analytics from the radio station, from the QR code, from the submission form and the website there. Okay. So it becomes an analytical a view of, hey, is the radio station working? Is the QR codes working? Is the submission forms working? And right now we are getting good results from all of those. Another good thing about that is that as they wait for the QR code to come up, they see what else is on the platform. So in a way, they are introduced to other places like Pagosa Springs, or let's say Cozy Takes that's down the street, or Carbondale Cycles, or something that they didn't really know about and say, hey, listen, if let me learn a little bit more about that, or the artist that's on the platform. Then they start getting more curious, and it actually becomes a rewards program or a loyalty program that then they want to use the plan. Then they go to the websites and we have our partners pages on all of the websites we designed, about 17 so far. And then they could say, hey, if I'm in this city, maybe I could use some of the platform here. Well, another good thing that's happening is that the partners themselves are working together. For example, we have a shawarma and bakery where now they're selling Romanian sausages. And both of those are our host locations. You would never think that in a shawarma bakery, they're selling Romanian sausages.
Right. It's a bakery.
It's a bakery. And they do sell some food as well. But it's because of the demand of they're close to each other. They're fairly about a mile away from each other. There's a lot of Romanians in the area.
And although the guy that is from Palestine that owns the bakery there, he now has partnered up with the Romanian, it's called the Transylvania Meat Company, to cook the sausages there, because there's not another location around that really cooks them. Now, they make them at the meat company there, but they don't have somewhere to cook them. So it's a great combination. Then we have other examples, like how the pest control company is working with the management company. There's other examples as well where we are able to get flooring for some of the houses that we're working on from surplus sales. For example, in Paducah, gave us a $109 per square foot because they're on the platform. So it becomes a rewards program in itself. And then the owners start recommending themselves. Some owners that want to do flooring, they're now going to go to surplus sales because they know they're going to get a great deal. Some Romanians that know that you could eat Romanian sausages and the Schwang Baker and Strama will go there and so forth. It literally, what we love about this also is that they are working together now and they're start. We also partnered up with Romanian TV station. And what they've done is we got them on our screens and now they're offering free slots for our, they run our program on their channels for no additional cost for the our partners. This is something that we didn't discuss with the partners when we first started, but they're not going to say no to as well. So they see the growth, they see the opportunities that are growing. That's what we love about it. We want to literally connect, engage, and enhance and inspire as many people as possible.
So, you know, that when you go to the gas stations, you know, they have those video screens. I'm not a big fan on just simply they're getting gas. I don't want to hear everything, but that's just my point of view. But when you're walking around, it's different. And when you're seeing these screens at one of the grocery stores, I was wondering, and I don't know if it's yours, but I saw like there was a video, no music, a picture of something in their store, and they showed a QR code. So this is something that you would see in offices or facilities or businesses. And, you know, there's all these screens everywhere that you were talking about. They're in bars, they're everywhere, and all different kinds of sizes, because they're not just in the bars, they're just not always having the sports channels on when you're having a beer at the bar. There's screens. So there's opportunities here for people to see things and get interactive. I do like the idea of the businesses working with the other businesses and growing those things. And just a little side note, I traveled around the world and I actually was in Romania for about 2 days. The only thing I can remember, and I did remember where I went, and the food was great, people was great. But I remember one thing, and God knows what the name of it is. They said, okay, we're going to send you to this restaurant for lunch, go by yourself and order this. I don't remember the name of it, but it was some kind of, I think it was breading, but it was salted meat in the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Does it sound familiar?
Well, there's, I think, and not to brag about Romanian food, it's number fourth in the world in terms of the food. And we won't even talk about the desserts. I love
it. No.
What the main dish that Romanians make is two of the main ones are cabbage rolls and also the mititei, the one that I was speaking about, the Romanian sausages. And they are then different other dishes that are super good. I don't know exactly what that one is called now, but I did taste those before. But I know Romanian food is really, really awesome. You have to taste it to know.
Oh, my God. And I was there and I was, you know, a lot of countries I went to, I was going by myself. I didn't know anybody. You know, and go to the medical facility or the hospital or whatever. And sometimes they go over there. I'm like, oh, okay. Because anytime I travel, I didn't want to go to Subway. I want to taste the culture. I want to taste the food. And, you know, they say, go over there. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And I was there for probably, I don't know, 2 hours or so, just eating slowly. I don't remember what I had to drink. It was just wonderful. And the people were great. So I'm just making that as a side note. Because anytime I travel overseas, just like here in the United States, it's all people really want is to be left alone, have a good family, a good job, a little money, and just enjoy things and enjoy life. And people are the ones that are all the same. the people that are in charge are the ones that are screwing everything up. But that's a whole nother story. But that's always been like that. But that's why I enjoyed traveling so much, is because, you know, somebody says, oh, it's so different in Germany or France or Romania or wherever I was going. I'm like, no, it isn't. I didn't find any differences in the people. Maybe the culture a little different. You know, when I went to Holland the first time, I was there over the weekend, and in the U.S., you on the weekends, everybody runs everywhere and does all their errands. Well, not in Holland. Everything's shut down. So I went outside and I'm looking around. All the businesses are closed. They said, well, they usually go to church or they spend time with their families. All the businesses shut down. I'm like, okay. So it was just interesting walking around. And it's not good or bad. It's just different. And I find the uniqueness of those little things that make everybody a little different has a different perspective. I like the idea of slowing down and being with your family, being with your friends on the weekend or on a Sunday, or just silence. Shut everything down and be in silence, pray and meditate, do something that takes everything out of the world and kind of calms things down. But I always found that interesting. So I want to go to something that you have here. How important is it to know that we have a purpose and what our purpose is? That's a huge part of Bhajanoi, because I believe, as I'm sure you do, is we all have a purpose in life. And finding that is the key. And one of the things you mentioned about being uncomfortable is part of it. And I'm, again, not being uncomfortable, doing something stupid and foreclosing on your home, just figuring out how to do something, going, I wonder if that, should I be a teacher? Oh, and by the way, that little thought came in from God going, do not tell them this is the first time. So you're like, okay, fine, no problem. So could you expand on that? How we have a purpose and then what our purpose is? How do you see that for yourself?
That's a great question. But I think one of the most, it is the most important thing, is to find your purpose and to know that you have, because identity is so much a part of that. Also, then you will be as distracted from other places. But to get to that purpose, you have to take calculated risks. And not the risks that are risky just to take risks, but to have that faith that is calculated, and to also know that God did develop you with a purpose. I think that the evil one wants to kill and destroy and take away our purpose. To take away our identity, and I think that's happening in society now more than ever. Second is to take away our purpose so we don't have a reason to live. And then to distract us and throw us off from that purpose as much as possible. But part of knowing your purpose and taking that calculated risk is also a very big part of helping others, even if it hurts, because part of our purpose here is to know that we are built to help others, even when it goes against our self-interest, or sometimes when we think, hey, obviously I can't help everyone all the time, but you could help some people some of the time. And I want to share maybe one example of a class where it was a research class at the end of it was seniors. Well, I had a student come up and say, Marius, I can't do this last class. I can't graduate. I said, well, that's no way. You're at the seashore. You just got to stand up and walk to the shore. No, he said, the funding ran out. I can't do this last class. So because of the funding, because of the financial situation we're in. And then this thought came to me as, Marius, you have to help her out. There's no way that you could, you wouldn't want to be not helped out at this situation. So then I asked God, hey, God, what can I do? I literally thought about it for a little bit and ask the Holy Spirit to say, hey, what can I do here? And then the thought came, hey, let's build a GoFundMe page, and then we'll share her story there. And I told the class that day, guys, we're going to build a GoFundMe page. I'll be the first one to put in the money there. I didn't disclose how much I'm going to put, but I told them we're going to be the first one. I'll be the first one. And then we'll see how it goes. But our purpose here is to help and take a risk, in terms of, even if it doesn't work out, we know that at least we did the best we can to help in that situation. So I kid you not, as soon as we finished that class,
I received a phone call from the secretary, and she said, Marius, there's a TV producer here from Chicago PD, and they want to do a video scene in front of the building there, that the one I was telling you about where we did where Power League started from. And they said they want to run a wire through the property there, and they want to pay you for running that wire through there. And I said, well, that's great. Let me get the number. And I remember his name was Phil, by the way. And I called him and I said, Phil, this is great because we have a student that now is, and all of the money that you're giving right now is going to go to the GoFundMe page.
That was wow.
And then he said, Marius, we're going to give you $1,000 instead.
So oh, wow.
There. And they did the scene. We were able to get the funding for her. And that took faith plus purpose,
yeah,
plus helping others.
Wow.
That's where it's all about. Now, Philip, I can't make this stuff up.
No.
That's just one example there. And there's plenty. The point about this is that when you hear that calling, and if you answer to that calling, even if it's scary, even if you don't know how you're going to do it, even if you know, hey, I can't help everybody in the world like this, because I had even friends and family that told me, hey, if you do this for you're going to have to do it for everybody. You can't do, you know, but we did it for one person in that class that needed it the most.
Yep.
And I guarantee you that not only is that one person different, but our students that saw that was different because they saw how faith was a part of it. They saw how purpose was a part of it. And they saw how helping someone else with the purpose is a part of it.
Wow. I love that story. You know, it's interesting because what came to mind with all that is, and I've got stories like that also, where it's a little uncomfortable. So you start a GoFund. You're not doing it out of a necessity to be better, right, self-righteous. You're not doing it because your ego. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And those thoughts come into your mind. You're just thinking about it. Suddenly God gives you, oh, do the GoFundMe. Go do this, do that. And suddenly by coincidence, I'm doing my little finger brackets here for the audience. I do that all the time, that something happens. When this philosophy, Ajahnoi, which means your soul knowledge, came into my being, because I believe we're just a throughput. I'm an empty shell. And whatever these, I believe in the universal mind, I happen to call it God. Some people call it Krishna, you know, whatever you want to call it is fine, but it's God. And it goes through the spirits and the angels for me and gets it to my mind and through the subconscious thoughts of imagination. And this philosophy started coming out of me like it was a door that was just sitting there closed and just open. And then a whole bunch of other things came out of it too. And I didn't know how it was going to turn out. And now I've got 3 private students. I got 2 more that I'm meeting in a few days that might be interested. I've given 3 lectures, live audiences that grown a little bit. And I'm like, my first one, I had 23 people. I'm like, I didn't even know 23 people would show up. I'm thinking, hey, if it is, I didn't think about it. And I'm not patting myself in the back. I'm trying to make a point to people listening. You do things out of faith and belief, as in purpose and what your purpose is. You're helping other people's purposes, because I say empowering others empowers ourselves. So when you empower somebody else, it makes you enlightened and empowers you. And that's how energy is supposed to work. That's the way it was designed. We're supposed to empower other people. Not for the sake of money and power or fame, if that's all you want, but it really works on a different level when you're believing in faith that something's going to happen and you do it for the right reason. Unbelievable things start happening to you that, you know, that were holding you back because you gave of yourself, and suddenly and you're not thinking about it. Maybe a new customer comes to you. Maybe you get this contract. You're not looking at that way when that's happening, but if you're in what I call a mind pause during the day, take a little break, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't realize that just happened. Why did that happen? Oh, that happened because of this and that. And because when I'm talking to more people, it's making a difference, and I'm enlightened by it, and it makes me a better person, makes me better for the philosophy that I've been given, and it makes these people in their lives, transforms them, and they take whatever it is and use it for themselves. It makes them better. It's amazing when you touch people in different ways, how we consciously communicate. What this whole podcast is about, how we do this in different ways. Let me go to the next part of it here. You might have already said this already, but how important is it to listen to and communicate your purpose to others on a constant basis? You're doing that through the screens, you're doing that through other things, but how do you view that where you're doing it? And maybe you already told the stories, you already did it, but is there any kind of other ideas or thoughts that you have in that? How you're, you know, you're, how you communicate your purpose to others on a constant basis. So again, empowering others empowers yourself. How does that work for you?
Yeah, I think one very important thing in addition to everywhere else where we communicate is we communicate by example. And when we show that example, especially when things go not so good, but you want to make them as best as possible, and you don't rely just on yourself, you rely on God to help you with that. And I have another story just to share.
Please.
From school. So we are again in a research class, and a student comes in and she just has a bad day. She has a bad day, was being disruptive, was being, I would say, a little bit more than disruptive. And now, see, the students knew where I stood in terms of faith, in terms of God, in terms of... Now they're looking at me and saying, Mario, okay, we're going to see what Marius does now. Let's see what he does now. He's talking all that stuff about being good, being whatever, being in the spirit. And every being of mine just said, hey, you have to take control of this class or else you're going to lose it. But I had this other voice that told me, do not call her out. Do not shame her. Do not ridicule her. Do not embarrass her. Do not make her feel bad. Now, mind you, that was going against the grain because your pride wants to take over. Oh, she's not going to mess up my class.
Right.
I have authority in this class. If she doesn't, then the other ones will start doing it. And so many of these thoughts come into your head, but I had to suppress the pride. So I had to be as humble as possible. And then this happened. The next day she comes and says, Marius, I want to apologize in front of the whole class. I said, wow. I've never had we're in the university. I've never had someone come up and apologize in front of the whole class there. And she comes up and she starts apologizing. Said, listen, I'm sorry I acted this way. This was the reasons. And I was behind her. And I was just saying, God, what do I do next? I don't know how can I make this better? I don't know what to say next. Just like I didn't know what to do in the beginning.
Right.
I didn't know. So I was asking the Holy Spirit to tell me, hey, what you do next? I didn't know. And the thought comes in my head, have every single student say positive, inspirational thoughts to her. So we started, and I told them, guys, there was 22 students in the class. So guys, if you never spoke in this class, you will speak today. And we definitely want to share your thoughts and encourage her. So they all started one by one. I understand how you feel. This happens to me sometimes too. I get into it with my husband or my girlfriend or my family. And that class, the research class, turned into a Holy Spirit-led psychotherapy class that when it was done, it was one negative that turned into 22 positives.
There you go.
Now, that is another way to communicate because two things are required. One is that you're humble enough not to have your pride take over. And then you're humble enough to know that you have to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to say, hey, what do I do next? I don't know what to do next. Please help me. In fact, while we're on this podcast, I was asking the Holy Spirit, speak through me. I don't know what to say the best things. I want to obviously do the best, but I'm limited. I'm human. I make mistakes all the time. But in that situation, and there's others, but the way we truly communicate other than just screens and other than just audio and other ways, we communicate by example. And those are the ones that stick with you because I guarantee you from all of those students, I don't think they're going to forget that class because I know that, and even I was speaking to a student not too long ago, that I had in class maybe 10 years ago. And he said, you know, I still remember that time. So I say that humbly because what is the most important is being an example of love, kindness, and giving grace when grace is not necessarily due.
I love that. And what came to mind was the different things I've done, you know, and the only thing that came to mind quickly was the, I was on a business trip a few weeks ago, and I got on the plane, and the flight attendant, for lack of a better description, had a scowl. Now, that's my judgment, my ego, my self-righteousness, all the I call the conscious mind negative thoughts. I'm like, okay, push that aside. What am I supposed to learn from this? What am I supposed to get out of this? Well, for me and my personality is make them smile. That was the first thing that came into mind. Because you don't know, maybe this person, somebody died, somebody got sick, they lost their job. There's a million things that happen. And people don't intentionally mean to do it, but sometimes it happens. Who knows? Doesn't matter. So when they finally got to me, it was a microsecond. I just simply was asking for a glass of water. I don't remember the joke or the comment, but I looked at them and I threw love and energy out of my mind. I threw it. I wanted to feel like a magnet. And I don't remember exactly what I said, but this person smiled. And you could see the shoulders kind of just relax down just for a second. Now, I can't be responsible when she goes to the next person, but I just know that I sent out love and faith and goodness and good energy to somebody that needed it. And instead of going, this person's got a piss poor attitude and give them back the same, that's not doing you any good. Like you said, those thoughts came in your mind. Don't embarrass this person. Don't say anything bad. Because those are the things that we're trained in our minds. That's what you're supposed to do. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. That's a bunch of noise. So pull those aside, find it, listen to what's going on in that subconscious. What is God telling you? What are those spirits and angels telling you? What are those things that are positive that you can take out of it instead of being defensive? And then the person came back the next day and apologized to the class, and it turned into a therapy class or just an energy of everything. And it's wonderful because no matter where you do that, you know, I always say that whether it's a restaurant or a business, I always look at the person. And I don't know what these people are going through, and I don't need to know. And you have to change yourself, not change them. You know, we tend to go, well, I'm going to change your attitude. You know, and Marius, if you do it my way, the way I think of it in my mind, your life will be different. And you're going to go, what are you talking about? It's not going to work for me. And we try to, we might have good intention with loved ones and friends, but don't do it to people that you don't know. Just assume that maybe something bad's going on. And what can you do to make them smile? What can you do to, because you don't know that one little word, that one little click. You said 10 years later, somebody still remembers that story. And that woman that you were dealing with. Those stories last a lifetime. You don't know how they passed that on to someone and passed it on to somebody else, because then they saw something different in themselves that they didn't see before. Empowering others empowers ourselves. And I love those kind of stories. I just love those things. So I always would like to end with something from yourself, a positive statement or an aphorism, something that you could leave my conscious community audience with on a positive note, something they can think about right before we end the show.
Well, the thought that comes to my mind, and it's actually a verse from the Bible, the Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary of doing good, because at the right time you will reap the reward. And part of this is timing. We have to believe in God's timing and not get tired of doing good. There's some people that may take advantage of you doing good. There's some people that might not say thank you, or there might be other reasons why, but we should not go weary of doing good, because at the right time, you will reap that reward. Even if you don't see it now, even if it seems hopeless now, or even if it seems like you've been taken advantage of now, if you continue doing good, you will reap the good reward.
Excellent. I really appreciate it. Marius, has been a fantastic discussion and a great stories. I really thank you very much for taking the time today to talk with me on the show.
Thank you, Philip.
So I always end with this. Remember, to my audience, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.